we are joined right now by the head basketball coach at UConn. He just wrapped up his sixth season with the Huskies. This season, he was named the Naismith Coach of the Year and the Big East Coach of the Year. And, of course, they just beat Purdue 75-60 in the national championship game to go back-to-back. We are joined by Dan Hurley. Great to talk to you, Dan. How are you feeling, double champ? What's going on?
Oh, man. What a year, man. What a year. I got one part of the office has all the bounty that we've been able to accumulate over the last year. So a lot of trophies, a lot of nets, a lot of game balls. So
what a year is right, man. That is so awesome. Dan Hurley, my guest. So let me ask you this. It's already the stuff of legend, but you were barely in your seat on the team bus after that game and you were asking, where is the East Regional next year? Where's the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight? What about the Final Four? My man, I get that you're an obsessed coach. I love that about you. But tell me you allowed yourself more than a half an hour to enjoy what you just accomplished. Hell, Dan, tell me you're still enjoying it right now as we speak.
Yeah, we've had some fun, man. We've had a lot of fun. We've had some cocktails. We've enjoyed some great food and stayed up late and just reflected on the accomplishment. It's one of the great runs that a program's had in a really long time. And to do it with different people, different players, to get to experience the whole thing. It's just awesome. And now, we'll still continue to enjoy it, but now, you'll kind of, or at least for the coaches now, you start kind of, beginning to work towards the next one. And then, like, intermittently, as you visit the White House and have a parade and, then you'll have these kind of little bursts of, like, reliving it, which is cool.
That is cool. Dan Hurley joining us. Dan, generally, you said, hey, look, we had some good food. We've had some cocktails. Are you generally a cocktail guy or only because you won? And if so, what's your poison? What's your go-to?
Yeah, I love Mexican food. With that, I'm a tequila guy. And then I like different types of margaritas. My favorite spot here in Connecticut, say Alita in Glastonbury, they make the True Blue Margarita. I don't know if they make it specifically for me, but I'm certainly keeping in business with buying it.
So I got to know that, right? Because I've kind of moved on. My evolution is such that I went from being a beer guy, and then I had my gin stage, then my vodka stage, and I'm exclusively a tequila guy right now. What kind of tequila do you drink? Or does it not matter?
It doesn't matter. Was it Don Julio?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I got you. Well, whatever you want, Coach. Whatever you want. Dan Hurley joining us. You mentioned that what's really unique about this is you did it with different guys. I mean, the fact you didn't just repeat and you didn't just do so in even more dominant fashion than you did last year. You did it after losing five of your top eight scorers. I could argue that this year's group was even better than last year's. I could try to argue that. What I can't explain is how or why that is. How were you able to defend that title in an even more dominant fashion after losing so many key guys?
Yeah, Jim, it's like that confidence carryover was, I think, just something that just gets in the bones of the organization. And then I think that we really have learned a lot in terms of, like, just trying to hold out for a certain type of athlete, certain type of makeup, somebody with some pedigree, somebody with values that are going to lead to, to a team being able to win something, not just looking at, athleticism or traits like that, but, just to try to find people that fit, fit how we're trying to play offense, which is different. It's unique. The way that we play offense is is probably more European than it is. That it is ball screen reliant, kind of like the NBA model. And then, like, to making the commitment that we make to defense and to making effort plays. And then, you know, like I understand too, it's like these players that we recruit, they got to be able to play for me, and I'm an intense guy, and I don't ask them to play for me for 10 or 12 years. That would probably be too much for any player. But, you know, it's a sprint when you get on a college campus. So I feel like I'm like the perfect coach in college to coach college athletes that may be with you for only 1 year, 2 years, you know, 3 years.
We're talking to Dan Hurley. So what I'm hearing from you is these are the types of athletes, these are the types of people that we're looking for. Like, what's a non-negotiable? What will you not bring in?
Like, I watch these kids in their AAU games, or if they're in the transfer portal and I'm watching their games, you know, like when they get subbed out, do they run off the court? You know, do they go high five everybody on the bench when the coach is talking to them and coaching them? Is he looking them in the eye? You know, or does he have bad body language? Does it look like his teammates enjoy playing with him? Does he have camaraderie and chemistry with the group, or is he making everything about himself or the people around the player? Going to make it impossible to coach him, where everything is just going to be about that individual, and it's going to try to sink what we're trying to do, collectively. Because really, when it comes down to it, your production in college, you know, my fourth and fifth leading scorers are going to be lottery picks this year. In the end, you either have the traits that the next level is looking for or not. But in the interim, you know, when you go to college, man, you got to make sure that you're bringing in somebody that is going to help your organization win.
Well, Dan, like you said afterwards also, it's a win-win, right? Like, you can help them get there, and they can help you win what you're going to win. And as long as they all fall in line and everybody understands that culture, everybody can win. You know, your family is so amazing. Your father, Bob, of course, Hall of Famer. Your brother, Bobby, another one of my favorite guys. Obviously an icon. Now that you've done, Dan, what you've done, you are considered both those things. I want to know, have you flipped the entire family dynamic? In other words, is Bob Sr. now your dad, and is Bobby now your brother? And are these two dudes now looking up at you?
No, those shadows that they cast, they're way too big. Maybe I'm getting closer. And then obviously last year just alleviated a lot of that feeling for me. You know, I think that, you know, winning it last year, it was something that was always in the back of my mind. I feel like, you know, winning it last year, alleviated a lot of that weight and that imposter syndrome type of feeling. And I think now it's just, that now you just, I don't know. That's probably just not even something I think about. But I definitely this time last year was kind of thinking about it. But that's not even something I even think about.
I'm glad to hear you say that even you have or had imposter syndrome, because I think we all do. We all do, man. We can admit that. I do. You did. Who doesn't, right? And if you don't, you're a liar.
You're a liar. I mean, what did I say? Comparison is the thief of joy. And,
right.
And, I don't know. It's impossible, especially if you come from a family like mine where, there's these incredible competitors where this is who you become. I'm just glad that I think it's a great message for people. You know, like, you may not peak or you may not have your moment until your 50s. You know, I mean, I didn't have my moment in terms of my ultimate success. And it was a lot of struggle, a lot of failure, a lot of disappointment, a lot of not measuring up. And it took me a very long time. To climb the mountain.
Dan, it's such a powerful message. I love that message so much. In fact, I've kind of like, I'm older than you, and I'm trying to convince myself, and I do believe this, assuming that I don't take any shortcuts or accept that there are no hacks, but I still believe that my very best is in front of me and not behind me, or why else get out of bed in the morning and get after it? You got to believe that. And to your point that, hey, listen, man, my very best, like I would argue, you tell me otherwise, you're entering your prime in your 50s. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like, for the next, several years here. This is going to be, the best version of me. And I've learned, so much coaching, coaching at all the different levels I've been at. I feel like, just having taken the right steps, having been a high school coach and an assistant college coach and low major and mid major, having not missed any steps in terms of like the development piece. I have an identity. I know who I am. But I also work on myself consistently, to improve. Like I'm going to work, my absolute butt off this off season, to improve and become a much better coach with the tactics, with the leadership, the psychology, my relationships, my own personal development, like every aspect of who I am is going to keep getting better. And I think that that's like, that's the best part of it, like the work, your process. If you have like an incredible process and you pour everything you have into it, I feel like a lot of times that's like the greatest reward that you could possibly have.
That right there is a superpower. If you've got an incredible process and you give everything you have to that process every single day and every second counts, that's a superpower onto itself. Hey, Dan, before you go, the obvious topical news of the day, not long after that game ended, you were asked about the Kentucky opening. You shut that down very quickly, but they can't seem to find anybody to take that job, with Scott Drew being the latest to say no, reportedly. Dan, what happens when Mitch Barnhart shows up at your door and pushes a blank check across the table and says, hey, coach, just fill it in. Just fill it in. Then what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, you're preparing for the, for the three-peat here. You're doing everything you can. Obviously, we're going to lose a lot of players, from this year's team, and rightfully so. Historically, I don't care what the talking heads say, this is historically one of the best teams, in the last 20, 25 years, 30 years. But if I was going anywhere from here, the one thing I'd be doing right now was hiding. I wouldn't be doing your show. I wouldn't be doing anything. My heart is here. What we've created here is special. We have all the resources in place. To try to fend off everyone that's coming for where we are right now. So it's flattering to have your name mentioned. It's a byproduct of the success we've had. But if I was if I had designs on listening to any other schools, I'd be in hiding right now, not doing media.
I get that. I respect that. I believe everything you just said. Quick follow, and then I will send you on your way, and I appreciate you so much. You have everything you want right there, and I would imagine you have been approached and offered more money and said no. So whenever somebody says, Dan, to me, it's not about the money, generally I say it's about one thing, the money. Is there not? But then, and then everybody's got a number. Does the three-peat trump every single number? And I know it's not only the three-peat, it's the whole thing holistically, you, your family, the program, the university, the community. But does the three-peat and that thing trump every single number? Is there a number that could get your attention? Because I bet they've got one.
No, I think the, being who you say you are at your core, and I know how much, UConn in the state of Connecticut, in the university, how much they value, me and my staff, and the program staying where we are. So I know all those things are in place, for us to, to show, or to press for the three-peat and, to show people who you are. I think like, what do they have those studies to, like, once you hit a certain, once you make a certain amount of money, it doesn't make that much of a difference in your life. I couldn't be happier than I am here, and knowing that, the people that are, with the portal right now, we're going to have to be strategic there. We got some outstanding recruits coming in. We're going to return some guys. They're going to kind of help us keep it where we are. And, yeah, I mean, we're going to be – I'm going to be here going for a three-peat.
I love what I'm hearing. The double champ. Let me leave you with this thought, Dan. I'm so impressed with so much of all of this, but I love that I could argue that you are the best in the business, but you could, I can tell, man, you are so motivated in this offseason to get better at everything you do when you're already what I would consider the best in the business. Hey, I appreciate you. I appreciate the relationship. Congrats on that one. Can't wait to see you get after it again, and I know you made time for this interview, so thank you very much, Dan. Congrats, dude.
Romy, man, appreciate you. You are the man, and it's always a thrill to be on here. Been a big fan forever, man.
Same. Appreciate you so much, Dan. Dan Hurley joining us. Legend. Legend. I'd ride and die with that guy. I said it during the tournament. I said it after he won, and I'll say it again right now. I think a lot of you do not understand him. You're put off by his intensity. You're put off by his his annex or how animated he gets. I mean, part of the problem is you have people who don't watch college basketball ever, except for the national championship game, and then they tune on. They're like, whoa, who's that maniac? Who's that maniac? The same guy's always been. Who's that maniac? The best coach in college basketball. Who's that maniac? The guy presiding over the best program in college basketball.